Hey everyone, this is Lara from PedalMotel.com. Welcome to the first attempt at a non-text transmission, a new way of consuming music media. Today we talked to Garrett T. Capps, who's one of my favorite modern country rock dudes. He put out, I think, three LPs and like several EPs every time I look at his Bandcamp for something new out. But he is a great example of someone who is like really a kind of cosmic country guy. He definitely has a lot of reverence for the tradition of country music, but he's definitely doing something really interesting and making it his own. There's a lot of prog rock influences, a lot of psychedelia. It's really good. He's a great performer. I talk about him a lot to my friends, so check him out. And here's our conversation. And thanks for checking it out. How are things in San Antonio?
Pretty quiet. You know, it's kind of a dreary day. Mm. Where are you based out of?
Right now I'm in Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas. I live in New York, but I've been hanging out at my parents' house for most of this year.
Yeah, it's a weird time. But yeah. You know, your blog's really cool.
Thank you so much.
Interesting artists on there. How long have you been doing it?
About a year and a half. And really in the last year, just kind of doing a lot more because, you know, I have time, which is kind of ironic because usually I would like to be too busy going to shows. now that I'm not going to shows so much, I have a lot more time to actually write about music instead of just enjoying it. So it's something to do. It's good to stay busy right now. I cover a lot of sort of, you know, the cosmic American thing, a lot of folk stuff, but I really love country music. And I came across your music when I was watching a Pickathon stream.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, this is really cool. And you, before I even heard, I think like one of the last songs you played was Born in San Antone.
Uh-huh.
And before that I was like, this guy reminds me of Doug Somm. And then I heard that song and I was like, okay. So it's cool to connect with you. So why don't you, you know, tell me what you've been up to this year, because I'm sure that COVID probably ruined a lot of plans for you.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like forever ago, but around this time last year, I was planning to do all sorts of stuff for South by Southwest as usual. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of just gonna lead into a really, really hectic spring and summer. Mm-hmm. That I was kind of probably pushing myself to the limit. I was going to go on a tour supporting the Jacuzzi Boys, like all over. I was going to meet them in Denver and we were going to go play California and swing back over to Nashville, and it was going to be wild. And then I had some stuff in the Northwest in May, and then I was going to go back to Europe in June, and everything just got canceled.
Right.
So I'm used to like snowballing. I'm used to the snowball effect. So like when I do that kind of stuff, I usually just plan on something else happening because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing really set in until like August of last year when I realized I had no clue what I would have been doing.
Right.
Now I've just kind of been floating. I recorded some EPs just mm-hmm. for fun. I have an album that I finished mixing like in April that was a studio record that I started before all this.
Nice.
It's more kind of just like a country rock album.
Oh.
And then I think most notably last year, my band NASA Country, which is that band that was in the Pickathon performance.
Mm-hmm.
We all live in San Antonio, so we started meeting up once a week before the pandemic even started to write new stuff. And then we kind of stopped for a little while when things locked down in April. And when we felt safe again, we started meeting up. And it basically became like one of the only constants in my life in some ways.
Yeah.
A lot of our lives in the band. And we got a cool hookup at that studio called the Sonic Ranch. It's outside of El Paso. It's like one of the only residential recording studios around. It's probably the most famous one, at least. And we were able to book some time there in December, so we just worked all up to that, and we recorded a really kick-ass record that we're mixing right now. It's super far out.
Well, it's nice that you have the band to play with still, even if you can't be touring.
Yeah, totally.
What can you tell us? So are those two separate albums, The Country Rock and the one with Not the Country?
Yeah, The Country Rock one, it's called Beyond Babylon. My friend Jerry David DeSica produced it.
And I love his music. He's great.
Oh, you do? You're a fan?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he lives just outside of San Antonio, and we've become really good friends. Huh. And yeah, he's been on a roll, kind of. I mean, he's an incredible songwriter and musician, and or just musician. But yeah, he produced an album for me, and we finished mixing it sometime last year, and it's just sitting on the shelf, and we don't know what we're gonna do with it. But I kind of decided after seeing how this NASA Country record came out, it's like a product of the pandemic, and it's spastic and rock and roll and krautrock. I just feel more comfortable releasing that one because it feels like very of the times.
Right. That makes sense.
Subject matter included. So,
yeah.
It's just been a whirlwind, really, for everyone, but I kind of had like a career crisis at some point last year.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like I said, everything was kind of on a roll, and I was really pushing myself to get out on the road and write and whatever. So it seemed like everything not only was on pause, but everything just stopped. But I'm not alone.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you haven't been just sitting around.
Totally. It just feels different. A lot of things feel different when you aren't leaving the house.
Yeah.
Like internet stuff is not gratifying to me a lot of the times.
Right.
Getting on stage and, you know, living for the moment or whatever and seeing how people react is really important to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's something missing. It's a good kind of hold over, like the live streams. But yeah, not exactly the same. And you've been doing a couple of those kinds of, obviously the pickup on stream, but have you been doing like live streams?
Yeah, I mean, Texas Public Radio is like the NPR syndicate here in San Antonio and Texas, I guess. But so I own a venue called the Lonesome Rose. It's like a alternative honky tonk, but it's very Texas and San Antonio. And we started the series there before the pandemic. It was limited to 100 people. It's kind of a long, for some reason, this furniture store is involved. And we bring in this cool mid-century furniture and people sit in it. And we recorded for TPR. And it was on Monday nights, and we had some really cool acts like John Doe and Bill Callahan and
Wow.
It was like a Monday night thing, so we were able to kind of snag some bigger names because we built a good buzz around the event. So when we had to stop doing it in person, we transferred it to digital, and we kind of did a bunch of local bands. And we're doing another season that starts next week. That has a little bigger names, like some Austin bands, like A Giant Dog, And You'll Notice by the Trail of Dead, and then a bunch of San Antonio X. So I've done some random live stream stuff, but I kind of decided not to just turn on my computer like this and play my computer in front of the computer. Yeah. Because that got really obnoxious really quick for most artists that I noticed doing it.
Right. Yeah. It's been an interesting thing for sure. I think a lot of people are burned out on both ends. So it's cool to like come up with some more creative, collaborative ways of doing it. Let's get off the pandemic topic because it's tired. So did you grow up in a musical household?
Yeah, kind of. My mother is a pretty good piano player. She mostly just played for herself, but she can read music and grew up playing. And my father had a pretty solid record collection from his college days in Austin. So that's kind of like what was in my house. I'm an only child. So yeah, we listen to a lot of Rolling Stones and Jethro Tull and Fabulous Thunderbirds. And my mom played piano music, so I have a affinity for piano rock lifelong. And somehow along the way, like all those influences kind of mixed into my Texas surroundings. And I got into country music or whatever.
Cool. How did you get into country music? How did you kind of make the transition? Not transition, but...
When I was like 18 or whatever, I got pretty into all the big Texas songwriters. Like the really obvious ones, like from the 70s, Towns and Guy Clark. And Steve Earle kind of got me into them because he's from around here. Robert Earl Keen and Todd Snyder. The list goes on and on and on. But that was like kind of my big awakening because they were all from Texas and the whole Austin music thing was a big deal in the 70s, especially. And I had some records in my dad's collection by Jerry Jeff Walker and Rusty Weir and a lot of the Austin cats. So I got really into country music just because it was really catchy and the lyrics started speaking to me. And I started trying to write it at some point.
Cool. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I am as not a person not from Texas. I've always loved Towns and those guys, but I feel like I'm just kind of like just scratching the surface because there's so much. It's such like a rich history and tradition, and I think it's really cool that you're kind of honoring those traditions, but like making it really fresh and interesting, and kind of getting like more psychedelic with it, which is kind of a cool thing, which speaks to a lot of different audiences.
Right on. Yeah, people seem to enjoy it in one way or another.
Why do you think, I've noticed like a lot of my readers are European, and it seems like there's like a really deep appreciation for this kind of like cosmic country thing, whatever that is, over there. Why do you think that is like so prevalent in Europe specifically?
From what I can deduct, you know, we borrowed a lot of their traditions and roots music over here in the States, and we made it our own with all our own personality. And the Americana genre is really big over there in parts I've explored, but they really love Texas. I think it all starts with like the cowboys and Indians kind of stuff. I mean, I've been toured Europe like 3 times, and they just seem to just absolutely love Texas, the people that I've met. And that's kind of what you hear over here anyways. But for me, my album In the Shadows Again, we tried really hard to like kind of do something different with some spacey sounds or whatever, and the people of the Netherlands, there's like a big fan base in this very small country for progressive roots music and non-progressive roots music, but they really liked that record. I got a really good review on a website called altcountry.nl, and it kind of covered the bases, because I've never tried to imitate Doug Somm like deliberately, I guess, but Doug Somm and Augie Myers and the San Antonio guys have been going to Sweden and the Netherlands and Spain and wherever, Germany, since like the 60s. So they have a huge fan base over there. And then I think combining that with this like really niche audience that is just looking for the next step forward in country music, I think that those stars aligned. I'll shamelessly say that they absolutely love Daniel Romano's country stuff. And I think, and this was not on purpose by any means, but a lot of the people really jonesing for some weirder country.
Yeah.
And they like, in all the reviews, they mention Daniel Romano. At every venue we go to, they mention Daniel Romano. I'm like, well, I'm glad Daniel Romano stopped coming out with country records, because, you know.
There's a void, I guess.
There's a void. I have no Daniel Romano, but they absolutely love him over there.
Yeah. Interesting. That's crazy. Yeah, I always wonder, like, especially in the UK particularly, which there's a lot of people who like they just get really into like the deeper cuts, and I'm always curious if it's just because like it's an island and there's they take more time like listening deeply and reading and like getting more obsessed instead of, you know, being fed like a new record every couple of days. If that's kind of a factor in it.
Yeah, the appreciation for art and all that is definitely way more in depth than it is around here.
Yeah.
There's been some reviews that I've gotten of my records from the Netherlands or something like that, where it's like they somehow tapped into my psyche and like understood what I was trying to do. It's like pretty mind blowing. But it's all perception and appreciation and all that.
Yeah, that's great. It's nice when they get your stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you're obviously like doing something right.
I hope so.
That's cool. All right, so let's see. You're obviously a really huge part of the scene in San Antonio. Like when I was doing research, you were in like 15 articles just from like this year and this year alone.
Perfect. And
I read that you may want to run for mayor someday.
Oh, that was fresh. It's fresh news. It was a joke. But who knows? Things around here are funny. It's a very small scene for a big city. And especially last year, being kind of hyper-focused locally, I just found myself brushing shoulders with, like, the mayor or San Antonio Spurs basketball players or whatever. It's just the funny scene, the whole city itself. Mm-hmm. I know lots of artists and doctors and stuff from just being around, because it's such a interweaved place.
Yeah. Is it kind of one of those, like, big, small towns where, you know, very quickly you get to know everyone and can't go anywhere without bumping into someone?
Yeah, it's like we're a huge city, but kind of the greater downtown area has always had this small town feel, especially when it came to the arts. That could be food or visual art or whatever. And that's one reason I think I like it here. But it's very insular. No one likes to wave their flag. Which is cool. It's low key, but a lot of artists are cool just hanging around town. But I like doing both.
Yeah. Where's your favorite place to tour in the U.S.?
The best tour I've been on, and I've been on a lot of bad ones, was definitely driving up to Portland and back in 2019 for Pickathon. Because Pickathon, that was my best live experience in the States, maybe probably ever. They just understand, they seem to understand everything. And they also seem very stoned. The people that like run the event, but like they're all really cool and they have really good tastes. And but the whole run, the weather was beautiful, and we got to go travel through New Mexico and Colorado and Idaho and Utah. And then it was just like a really cool thing. It's like, we're going to Pickathon. It's like the biggest deal for me probably ever.
Yeah. Playing.
And I think it went over really well. It did go over well.
That's awesome. Sounds like a great drive.
That's yeah, it was just a great, that band, we're all really good friends. So, I mean, I have a tendency to tour with some of my, with some friends in Austin that are like Austin musicians, and they're my friends too. But what made the Pickathon performance so good was that I decided to take my San Antonio band, and we had to bust ass to like get our shit together, and it was still rough around the edges, but I think overall it, that like works with the energy and the songs, and it's more genuine than
totally.
I think that it works better that way, but we have to try really hard.
Yeah, that makes sense. It comes through. Okay, so you play with bands in Austin, San Antonio. How did you meet all your guys?
In San Antonio, just being involved with the music scene over the last 10 years. There is a venue in Austin called the White Horse. It's like the, it's like a very well-known honky tonk. Yeah, everyone's kind of been there.
Yeah.
I started playing there 3 or 4 years ago, and that's just kind of like a hub for like everything. And I kind of became part of that scene. So I just pretty much met a shitload of really good musicians and songwriters and people in general. So that's my Austin connection. I lived in Austin for a few years when I was like 21 or something, and I couldn't really, I was just starting to write songs, and I didn't really have an entrance into the scene. It seemed really big and intimidating.
Yeah.
So when I moved back here, nothing seemed intimidating, for better or for worse.
Right.
It was almost just like I like got my act together in San Antonio, and then I finally was able to play a bunch of gigs that I always wanted to play in Austin when I lived there but couldn't or wasn't able to. It was because I was the San Antonio guy. Who would have thought?
Yeah. That's cool.
There's still plenty of people that really want to be Austin people and try really hard. But they don't get it. They should just move down here.
Yeah. Well, now the secret's out.
A lot of my heroes kind of bridge the gap between San Antonio and Austin as well. Doug Somm would be a very good example of that.
Right. Yeah. Austin kind of seems like sort of the Nashville thing where you're like, it's the place that you go to make music, but also like everyone's going there and, you know, you're just one of so many. It does seem very intimidating and kind of difficult to make your mark.
Yeah, it starts feeling ingenuine, you know, it starts feeling like everyone's there. It's like industrious. It starts feeling like everyone's just there, like an LA thing. Everyone's there to get something done for themselves.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. This blog started as like a kind of way to cover the LA country scene. It's kind of evolved, but I think it's one of the best scenes. But yeah, it's true.
So you lived in LA for a while?
Yeah, I lived there for like 5 or 6 years.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I played the Grand Ole Echo.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah, and everyone was super cool.
Yeah.
I still keep in touch with a lot of those people.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great spot to play, and everyone who comes through is like super talented. But yeah, it is. It's a kind of a difficult place to live after so long. I mean, I live in New York now, which is
yeah.
Don't get started. But yeah, it's a cool scene. I hope that, you know, when we come out the other end of this, the Grand Ole Echo is still intact and gets back to doing, you know, things.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the Lonesome Rose and what that's like?
Yeah, I mean, the Lonesome Rose is kind of a byproduct of everything I told you about my relationship with Austin and mm-hmm. outside of San Antonio, meeting a bunch of country musicians on like the more independent level, DIY or underground. It got to the point where I was trying to help friends book shows at just random places around here. And we just didn't have a place like the White Horse or Sam's Town Point or whatever. I was doing the Grand Ole Echo thing, essentially, yeah, for San Antonio. But some friends of mine that are bar owners, I heard they were going to open this honky-tonk kind of place, and I partnered with them to be like the talent booker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of become my clubhouse. And it's like the only place I play shows in town.
Mm-hmm.
But we book all the bands that are kind of, you know, the bands that tour the Grand Ole Echo that aren't headliners, but
right.
Kind of more the punk-minded country bands.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Who's played there?
There's a lot of people that have played there, it seems. We've had a few bigger shows. You know, Dale Watson's played there, Wayne the Train. Charlie Crockett was our last big show before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Shook. And then like a ton of Austin bands, Croy and the Boys, Catherine Legender, Jonathan Terrell. The list goes on and on, really. And there's plenty of artists that we still want to get in that we have not gotten in.
Yeah. Dang, that sounds like a really fun place.
It's a good time, for sure. It's still growing. I think it's going to be really, really badass when things get busy again.
Totally. Yeah, hopefully that happens soon. All right, so Beyond Babylon, when do you think that we can start thinking about it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Jerry D will be pissed at me for even mentioning it, but it's called Beyond Babylon. And Doug Kershaw, the Raging Cajun, plays on it.
Oh.
Which was really awesome.
How did that come about?
Like, I think almost 1 year ago, we were working on the record and Doug Kershaw was playing in Austin, and I like hit up his manager and they sent me his phone number, and we had this like wild 24-hour experience with Doug Kershaw. He was like drinking airplane vodka bottles at 8 a.m. We had to pick him up at 8 a.m. after his show. And it was really funny. Amazing. He just like made a lot of crazy sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
That's
much.
So cool.
He was traveling by himself too. He flew in with like four suitcases full of instruments and clothes and merch. And he just found someone to carry it for him everywhere he went.
That's awesome. And what's the, do you have a name for the NASA Country album yet?
It's either going to be called A Better Place or People Are Beautiful.
Those are both good names.
I think that's what we're leaning towards. And this one is definitely like The Jerry David record's more live sounding kind of 70s country rock album. It's very, very song based. It probably has my best songs on it. The vocals are really up front. And the NASA Country Records is just like full of kind of driving kraut rock drum beats and ethereal soundscapes and very universal and general lyrics.
Wow, both sound amazing. Like right up my two alleys.
Awesome.
So when do you think that the NASA Country album will come out?
I think we're going to release it this year, probably like in October or something, it seems. We want to get it pressed. We're going to put it out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to throw some big album release parties around here.
Yeah.
I hope. Yeah.
By October, yeah, we got to have parties by then.
That's what I'm thinking.
Cool. Awesome. Well, keep me posted about those. I'd love to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of you or anything
I'll
like
be
that.
Talking about all of it for sure.
That was our conversation with Garrett T. Capps. Please check out his music on Bandcamp under that name. And we'll post a link on the website. Thank you. Bye.